Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Singh.
From 1992 through 1996, absolute ruler of more than a quarter of your world. From Asia through the Middle East.
The last of the tyrants to be overthrown.
I must confess, gentlemen, I've always held a sneaking admiration for this one.
He was the best of the tyrants, and the most dangerous. They were Superman in a sense. Stronger, braver, certainly more ambitious, more daring.
Gentlemen, this romanticism about a ruthless dictator is...
But Spock, we humans have a streak of barbarism in us. Appalling, but there, nevertheless.
There were no massacres under his rule.
And as little freedom. No wars until he was attacked.
Gentlemen.
Mr. Spock, you misunderstand us. We can be against him and admire him all at the same time.
Illogical.
Totally.
Hey, Dan, can I start?
Can I start?
May I start?
Can I finish?
We're all eager to start. I guess you're going to have to wait. I'm going to push the button, all right?
Oh, no.
We'll say we're officially
Press
started.
Press the button.
He's pushing buttons.
Yeah.
Press
the thing
button.
Is, Jesse and I have a lot going on tomorrow.
Press
so we're
the
just
button
trying to,
now.
We're just trying to get this recording out of the way, and Dan's just dilly-dally.
You're just always rushing me. I got nothing to do tomorrow myself. Just to shit around the poop.
I see what you
shit doing. Around the poop is what all I have to do is shit around the poop. And press the button. Press the button.
He already
pressed
the
button now. Oh yeah, said press the button. Doo doo. Press the button. Doo doo. Press the button now. I said what? Yeah. Press the button. You do. Press the button. I did. Press the button now.
So Dan is committing.
Press the button. Press the button.
Understood to be.
Press the button now.
This is called podcast terrorism, right?
Yes.
Because see, I purposely hadn't started the clock because Dan was singing his press the button song because he was anxious to get started. With the podcast. And I was like, oh,
I've learned.
I gotta wait until he stops singing the press the button song. And then he did. And then we started.
And then he sang the whole fucking song.
And then he sang the song again.
I think this is less terrorism and more warfare because, like, you try to wait till I get my sillies and goopers out before you press the button.
Terrorism is warfare.
And then I'm like, oh, you didn't start it yet. And you're like, nope, sorry. And so, like, now I have to trick you. So now the next week, you're gonna have to trick me into thinking you started when you actually didn't.
Well, whatever keeps us mildly entertained as the weeks go by.
A little more than mildly entertained.
The ceaseless march towards death.
Oh, man.
Interesting, if
There's
true.
So many days left. So many bleak days.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
What a handsome group of people.
I agree.
We're so handsome.
We are.
We're so handsome, if I do say so myself.
And yes.
I say so too, sir.
I say we're very handsome.
Yeah. I third that statement.
I think if we did a video podcast, we'd get a lot more, you know, fans.
Just purely based off of handsomeness, the handsomeness quotient. The
I think we could sit around with no shirts on and be like, hey.
Yeah.
You're convincing me, Jesse.
Hey, guys.
All right.
What are these guys up to?
Well, that was Jesse. Jesse wants to take his shirt off.
No, I'm just
Dan likes to sing the, what was it, the Turn the Button On song?
Press the button.
Okay, the Press the Button song.
Press the button. Press the button now.
I said I'm going to go and
press the button. Press the button. Press the button now. I said I'm going to go and press the button. Press the button. Press the button now. Do you really think you can press the button? Press the button. I said, you press the button now.
Now, I'm experienced enough. My name's Patrick, by the way. I'm experienced enough. And I should have known that that's what was going to happen. But I didn't.
It kind of happens.
And for that, I apologize.
Every other week or so.
Apologize to the audience. But, okay.
My apologies.
So, it's got Star Trek. That's the podcast.
It'll have Star Trek at some point.
Yes. This is episode 313.
So many episodes. It hurts. It's like I feel a little older every number.
I know, right?
It's like having a birthday when you reach middle-ish age-ish, except like happens every week.
It's like, oh, another week went by. Shit.
And we've been providing weekly content.
It's 1 week fewer in my life.
For years. for many, many years now. So check out our back catalog. Don't go too far back.
No.
Just go like a few weeks back. We got good more recently. Now it's great. As you can tell right now, as is already evidenced by what you have listened to thus far.
We figured out an equation.
It's all figured out. We're 100%.
Interesting, if true.
Okay. So yes, episode 313 and episode 313, we are discussing Star Trek, the original series, season one episode, classic of all classics.
What episode number?
What episode is it from the season? Is this just to start a whole argument between the Memory Alpha numbering and the other numbering?
It's not meant to. Okay,
production order
to,
versus
the Paramount order versus everybody else's.
I believe this is episode. I went with episode 16 from season one, episode 16.
It's deep in the season. Yes.
I know production order. Maybe this is, I don't know, 24. This is a whole season. TOS season one. This is always an intellectual battle.
Yeah.
This is not episode 16 of season one.
Isn't it 16? I think it's episode.
That was last week.
Was that Shuttle Pod 1? So what is this?
Jammers.
This is episode what of season 1?
22.
22?
Yeah.
120, so season 1, episode
Paramount
22.
Paramount Plus says 23, but Google says 22.
What does Memory Alpha say? Did you look it up? Memory Alpha usually goes...
Memory Alpha 5!
This is Memory Alpha 5! Memory Alpha usually goes by production order.
Wikipedia has... Wikipedia says the 22nd episode.
Yeah. It says Wikipedia and IMDb, the Internet Movie Database, usually jibe with each other.
Yeah.
Memory Alpha generally jibes except for a few seasons of Star Trek, including season one of TOS, because they filmed in a different order.
This says it's episode 24.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying.
That's crazy. Memory Alpha, it's a production order.
Well, I mean,
they do the production order.
Okay.
Right?
Fair enough.
So for me, I put Where No Man Has Gone Before. I consider it one of the Star Trek, it's the second pilot of TOS. However, it was aired, I think, sixth? Something like that. It was definitely not first.
Well, we haven't named the episode yet, have we?
Have we? Oh, no, we haven't. You're right. It's Space Seed. Space Seed.
My name is Khan. Please sit and entertain me.
This is a minor mystery. And it may be less of a mystery than I think it is. That clip was played frequently someplace in my past.
You're asking me to like recount your past to you?
You're a big part of his past.
First, there's that.
Make it sound like we were married.
Second, I'm putting it out there because I can't remember if that sound clip was one of the many TOS sound clips I had as a computer error message message back in the old.
I used to have Homer Simpson go, dope.
Windows 3.1. I had a lot of Spaceballs and a lot of Star Trek. Mm-hmm. So it could be that. It could
theoretically possible.
It could be from one of the many drive time radio shows we used to listen to that had all
sorts
of
possibilities.
That's old school.
Audio cavalcades, and I'm talking, you know, like your Don and Mike's.
Yeah, right.
Like your, what was it?
G. Gordon Liddy?
I don't think it was on G. Gordon Liddy. But it might have been on, what was it? Russell and Stevie? What was that show you were on?
Rod and Fez.
It could have been on
we've
Rod
never,
and Fez.
We never mentioned that I was on that show.
Well, you were on.
I was on the Ron and Fez.
You want to retract
show.
It? Should I delete that?
No,
we totally doxed you, dude.
I was an intern on the Ron and Fez show,
and you did all sorts of fun music.
You were a bit more than just an intern.
Dib dabs and jibble jabs and all
jibble
sorts of stuff
and
on the
jobble dobbles.
The old Ron and Fez show.
Yeah. Jibble dabbles.
Muffin mouth.
Muffin mouth.
I remember I was doing because I worked at that radio station and I filled in as the call screener for Lisa Lampanelli had a show.
A brief time. Syndicated.
And I was
show.
And I like filled in as the call. I was like the call screener on that show briefly.
Wow.
And then
what kind of people called up that show?
Yeah. Were they telling crude jokes? Was that the plan? Were they calling up and you're like, "Hi, this is Dan."
This was
why do you want to get on the air?
Why do you want to get on the air?
My name's Charlie, and I've got the best joke ever. Lisa's gonna love it.
This was back in like 04, 05, so this is a long time ago.
Yeah, that's a long time ago.
Aught 05, most of our listeners are so young, they don't even know what those years are.
Are they really?
No.
Academic, Captain.
Academic, indeed.
I think most of our listeners are within the couple years of our age.
Probably.
There is that possibility, Captain.
Right. Space Seed.
Ron Bennington and Fez Watley. Yeah.
One reason why we're doing Space Seed is because we wanted to. Because
we wanted to, okay.
We wanted to. But also there's been a lot of con in the air because there's the con podcast, the Star Trek con podcast, which I haven't listened to yet. Everyone seems to be digging it.
Totally.
Right? So
That sounds really cool.
I think, have either of you heard any of it?
I haven't heard it, but you explained it to me one day.
So here's the deal, Jesse. Here's what they're doing.
There's a thing called a podcast. Yeah.
Well, it's an audio drama, right? Audio dramas done well are great. Not done well are cheesy and annoying. And I think that was my concern leading into this. Even though the people behind it, the writers on it, the producers, it's all, I think, it's got a good pedigree. But anyway, there's a lot of con in the air because there's this, I think it's a 10-part podcast that just concluded. Maybe we should cover it. It is audio, so we can do
con is my name.
We can do our audio clip.
We do have ears.
But anyway.
Con Noonien Singh.
Yeah, so con is floating around in the ether, and so we thought, let's go ahead and discuss Space Seed.
Precisely.
But first,
he's an
the purpose of your star flight.
We do have an email and a voicemail. So let's do those.
They're
let's
on
get
the
through
red.
Our emails and the voicemails.
Totally on the red.
So
thank you, Jesse.
This first email, it's the only email this week that we're going to be reading.
She was my only friend.
Jennae. This email is referencing.
I taught her how to dangle.
And what did she teach you, though?
She taught me how to swing.
Swing?
She taught me how to swing. And I taught her how to dangle.
Okay, so that's he's quoting Forrest Gump.
Tom Hanks.
A movie that people used to think is good. But when you go back and watch it,
it's an inconvenient truth. I can't even do it.
It's not as good as you.
When you leave the 90s, it becomes less ridiculous.
Yeah. A lot of movies, less relevant.
It's just kind of pointless, really.
It's kind of pointless. Yeah.
So this email is referencing last week's discussion. We were talking about Star Trek Enterprise's Shuttle Pod 1.
I don't get it.
Last week.
And it what?
Thank you so much for saying this is my favorite audio clip. What?
What?
So on that episode, at one point, Malcolm Reed is going through the rations they have.
Yes.
And he's kind of grouped together the quote-unquote fancy rations and has listed...
he's from England.
Listed Mugu Gaipan among the fancy rations.
Yeah.
And so we got an email, actually, as it happens, from Dan's brother, Rob.
Ah.
Who was...
he was on the show.
He was on the show recently.
Go figure.
I'm not joking, Lee.
So Dan's...
Hi, Rob. How's it going? Answer me when you hear this.
Hey,
please.
Bro.
Thank you.
He will text you. So Rob says, because we were asking, I think Dan, maybe you were the one who made the point that Mugu Gaipan wasn't as fancy as the other two options,
right?
So which was like some sort of chicken masala or something, and some sort of fancy
Chilean sea bass.
Which, by the way,
was there chicken masala?
It's not like it's Chilean sea bass. Oh, it was some sort of like ridiculous. It's not some fancy.
It's not super fancy.
That's a made up.
But it's like it sounds fancy.
It sounds fancy.
And I guess that's the point. Is like you know you think of like chicken masala, fancy sounding word, Chilean sea bass, fancy sounding thing.
Mugu Gaipan.
But like at least chicken masala and Chilean sea bass, like, you know, or some it can take as much effort as you want to put into it. I just think Mugu Gaipan is very limited in its function.
Let's see what your brother has to say about this. Maybe instead of Mugu Gaipan, Peking duck would be a better choice.
Yeah.
It's a real Chinese dish, unlike Mugu Gaipan, and was prepared in China for centuries as a special dish for emperors.
There you go.
It was fancy.
Oh, that's
fancy.
Also, Peking duck is way tastier than Mugu Gai Pan.
Yes.
So it wins there.
Yeah.
I would choose, this is Rob saying, I would choose Peking duck over meatloaf every single day, and I love meatloaf. Also, Rob goes on to say, also, and this also references last week's conversation,
oh, no.
by the way.
Uh-oh.
Also, the meatloaf
oh,
and
no.
burgers.
God damn it.
Meatloaf and hamburgers are not the same, and I know more than one person who likes burgers and doesn't like meatloaf.
I never said they were the same.
Well, it was
what
a little
I
unclear.
Said is that if you like one, you like the other. Now, I grant he does make that that qualification at the end, as he knows people who like one of them, not the other. Yeah. But those people, I don't want to say they're misguided because I don't know them. And I don't want to say they're wrong because that's inappropriate to say that somebody's tastes are wrong. But like, I think they're just, they need to look at it from a fresher angle is all I'm going to say. A fresher angle.
Well, so I'm
not criticizing their taste at all. I'm just saying, like, look at the ingredients, ground beef.
I responded to Rob and I said, I was looking forward to reading this email on the recording tonight. And then he responded back saying that, and you might be able to inform this, Dan, because you also lived in Oklahoma for a time where Rob is currently located. Mm-hmm. And Rob says,
where would I stay?
Actually, Rob says, actually, there's a big argument about meatloaf and burgers in Oklahoma. One of Oklahoma's food specialties are quote-unquote onion burgers.
Ah, yes. I've had onion burgers. They're good.
Which are just ground beef mixed with onions and cooked in a burger form.
Oh, which is like meatloaf.
That's like a jazzed up burger.
They are quite good, actually, but different than a Sounds normal good. Burger. However, some food people in Oklahoma think that onion burgers are basically meatloaf sandwiches.
Yeah.
And strongly prefer burgers made without onions and make quite a big deal about it. See, and he provides a website address, https://eatingokc.com/the-lists-2024. /for more info on this feud, search onion burgers.
Look,
and I did, and I found that article very interesting. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you, Rob. Here's the thing. If all it takes to make a burger meatloaf is putting onions in the middle, then I cannot understand how you can say you like one not the other, unless you just...
I think there's more to meatloaf.
Unless you just hate onions. If you hate onions, then yes, I get it. You hate onions. But like... Then a burger is just a meatloaf without the onions. And if that's the only difference, then that's not enough to say that you like one and not the other.
I'm with Jesse in the sense that I disagree with the people who think that an onion burger is a meatloaf. I can understand if they say it is a specialty burger.
That's a specialty burger.
It is something you would want to note that it is different than a regular burger. Another example.
It's just like putting like that Lipton onion soup mix in
or a pig and steak burger, which is where you mix ground pork with ground beef in equal proportions.
Yes.
That is still a hamburger in a sense, but it is you need to explain that this is different. I would agree with the onion burger, same deal.
But
a meatloaf is its own thing.
But the only difference between meatloaf and a burger is like one is the way they're cooked, basically. Yeah. And even then, you could bake a burger.
I think there's different
ingredients
in a meatloaf. Meatloaf usually
you make a bit of a sauce. It's got stuff in it.
Meatloaf doesn't have to have a sauce. It's a flour.
You've arrived at a totally illogical conclusion.
Well, I think meatloaf is like a there's lots of ways to do it. It's one of those things,
right? And this is why I'm saying is you can make meatloaf as close to a burger as you want and still call it meatloaf.
You can make you can make burgers that are reminiscent of fancy meatballs.
Which is why I'm saying, and I would argue that too. Like, how can you like a burger but not like a meatball?
Yeah, this is a very. This is a topic for another podcast.
Well, it's a
so useless.
It's an interesting philosophical debate, and one that I think it's okay for us to keep having periodically over time.
And it's
we encourage people to write in at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com.
It was a very stimulating contribution to feedback.
Yeah, write back feedback@itsgotstartrek.com.
It does not matter.
Yeah, because we would like to hear what you think about the meatloaf versus burger debate and all the sub debates, onion burgers and pig and steaks, and
you better. Respond in the correct way.
What not? Now,
quite understandable.
Let's move along home to our
good.
He's reasoned it out.
Good. Excellent. Good.
Wait. How does?
Okay.
Good. Excellent. Good.
Excellent. Good. Right. All right. So we're gonna move along home to our voicemail.
Very positive. Yes.
Our voicemail.
My
from Isaac, our voicemail from Isaac.
Hell yeah.
From Trek 365. Take it away, Isaac.
Hello, Wingus, Thingus, and Dingus. It is Hi. Isaac from the Trek 365 podcast here with a very popular voicemail. First thing I'd like to say is in last week's episode, you guys mentioned chicken masala a few times. And each time you did, in my head, I went, chicken masala Wallace was right. And I wondered if I'm still allowed to mention Pulp Fiction because I think you guys said we had to stop talking about it come 300 episodes. No. Also, I felt a little bit unsatisfied by a Patrick story. Patrick said, I saw a big grizzly bear once and didn't. And just left it there.
Yeah.
We want to hear the grizzly bear story. Because you know what? Cousin Truckwill, or Captain Goodwill, he has a bear story, but he told the story. Oh. And I know that story, but I don't know Patrick's bear story. So bear story, I barely knew thee. So if we could have that, that would be good. Also, at the end of the episode, you talked about potentially doing Star Trek Khan. I have listened to it. I would absolutely recommend it. It's a bit of fun, guys, and it's a little bit different for a Star Trek audience. So if you do decide to do that, I'll listen. And if you don't, I'm going to listen anyway because I listen to you guys talk about anything. Like, seriously, do an episode on chicken wings. I'll listen to that. I'll actually love it, to be honest.
But I love chicken wings.
No pressure on the chicken wings episode. Anyway,
blue cheese dressing.
Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say today about Space Seed. It's a great episode. I enjoy it. I'm going to enjoy it now. I'm going to put it on. I'm probably not, but I know it pretty well. Anyway, that will do. Bye. And now it's time for the we're going to go to the commercial break, and then we'll be back after this with a fun me up. All right. Bye, guys. Fun
me up. Thanks, Agamus.
Not too far off. We are nearing break time.
So, are we going to be able to bear through your bear story?
Oh yeah, I got a ton of bear stories, but
you got a ton of bear stories.
I do.
I think I have one bear story, and I wasn't even present for the bear. I was like in the bathroom, and like one of my friends saw a bear. He came to the kitchen door. We were in West Virginia. Me and my friend and my mom were in this cabin in Blackwater Falls, West Virginia. I was in the bathroom, and
is this where you ate the testicles? Or is that someplace else?
That was Colorado.
Oh, Colorado. Bull testicles.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. They just fry it and put a bunch of.
We call them prairie oysters, something like that.
Rocky Mountain oysters.
But like, I was in the bathroom, and then like my friend was like, "Mrs. Glovitz, there's a bear," and she's like, "Oh, come on, Todd." And then
she's like, "Todd."
And then Todd.
And then she like walks up into the kitchen, and on like the little steps up to the kitchen or to the porch, kitchen, which is very small, it's a very rustic cabin. There was between. Like, about a foot from the screen door was this fucking black bear cub. And my mom was like, holy shit, get the fuck back here, you know?
Where was that?
Blackwater Falls, West Virginia.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And so it's just a bear cub, but, you know, like, you don't want to be hanging around bear cubs, you know, black bear
cubs. No, because the bear's mama's around.
Yeah, there you go, Isaac. You got Dan's bear story.
And I was in the bathroom taking a shit the whole time.
And that was his only bear story.
Oh, yeah. I've got a bear story,
but Patrick has tons of them, apparently.
I do. My family has
in the woods a
cabin out in the mountains.
Okay.
We see black bears all the time, but
I went to the channels.
Black bears just wander off.
I went to the channels with my wife, and on the way back down the mountain, we saw like a bear, and the bear was all surprised to see us. I was like, "We're gonna walk this way, bear."
Yeah,
interesting.
We were driving down a mountain road, and a little baby bear cub, black bear cub, ran across the road, and then climbed up the tree. And I stopped the car, and I started taking pictures, and this bear cub was all like.
Yeah.
My son was like, he was like three at the time. He was like, "Daddy, can you please close the window?" So I just rolled down the window. I was like, "I'm taking pictures." But the grizzly, I've seen grizzlies in zoos, of course, but the one time I encountered one in the wild was when I was hiking in the Glacier National Forest. And we were wearing a Coke can around your neck on a string with some rocks and coins.
So they hear you.
And they said if you're worried about it, you can sing a song or you can talk loudly. And anyway, we're walking through a narrow trail, wooded on either side along this sort of ridgeline. And the person I was with was, about 20 yards behind me. And we're just sort of hiking along. And about 20 yards ahead of me, I just see a big grizzly bear on the path. And then it just walks off the path to the left. And I was like, well, shit, we have no choice but to walk that direction past where there was just a giant bear. So I just started singing a song, and the person behind who I was with was like, "Why are you singing? What's wrong with you?" I was like, "Oh, I'm just singing a song," and it was fine. We walked past, and there was no further encounter. Oh, although we then got caught in the snow and had to just set up our tents on the side of the thing. We weren't able to put our food in bear bags or anything, and there was some snuffling around the tent at a certain point. But what I did to overcome the tremendous fear I was feeling at that point was I just smoked a bunch of marijuana and then I went to sleep.
You are an excellent tactician.
That solved that problem. So there's a couple of those are related bear stories because that was in the same hiking.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I mean, that's an impressive bear story. I'm impressed by that bear story. I wouldn't say you have a ton of bear stories.
Well, I have a number of black bear stories that I haven't told because most of my black bear stories are, oh, there's a black bear, and the black bear is all like, meh, and then it turns around and walks the other direction.
Think of its accomplishments.
Because they black bears don't want to mess with you. Yeah. Right? The deal is, if it's a black bear, you act all big, and they're like, well, I don't want to mess with you. If it's a brown bear, grizzly bear, any of that thing, you play dead.
If it's black, fight back.
No, if it's black, give it whack. If it's brown, take it to town.
Yeah, and if it's if you encounter a polar bear, by
if
all
it's
accounts,
white, good night.
Yeah, nothing you can do. It's going to murder you. It's going to make your body dance around.
There's nowhere to go. You're like in its home's turf, which involves nothing but open space that it can move much more quickly through than you.
And it just wants to fuck with you. Like a grizzly bear doesn't want to fuck with a human either, but they get surprised by you.
Well, because
they might be hungry.
Think of how boring and miserable it must be to be a polar bear. Yeah. So it's like you're out there. It's like, hey, I'm going to have some fun, you know?
Especially nowadays with all the ice melt.
Yeah.
Okay.
You find no pleasure.
So we have a few minutes before the break. So
holy shit.
We can. No, we've already talked about this episode a little bit. This has all been Star Trek related.
Everybody knows this episode.
And you came.
Star Trek Bear, right?
Earlier I played this sound.
First, the purpose of your Starflight.
Starflight.
Yeah.
I don't know why that caught my ear. Starflight.
Season one has all sorts of funny
weird stuff.
Weird
stuff says Starflight.
They also talk about the turbo elevators.
Yeah, they talk about the turbo elevators.
Turbo elevators.
But they did mention deflector shields, and only four episodes earlier was Arena, where they were talking about screens. Remember when Rob was on the episode, he mentioned how they brought...
That's right, baby.
They talked about screens instead of shields, but now they're talking about shields. So I don't know why they talked about... I don't know if they just changed their approach, or if screens and shields are supposed to be different, or...
Different writers, doing things interchangeably for a while on Star Trek. By the way, this continues continues into TNG and some of the other series.
Would indeed.
I like that. It's a little bit of fun flavor.
Flavor.
Flavors.
Flavor with a U.
Flavonoids.
Totally.
All right. So this episode starts out with they're already tense. They're like, they've discovered something. What's going on? It's very tense.
Hey, did you hear about the fire at the circus?
Oh no! It was intense.
Yeah,
yes, I heard about that.
Yeah, you heard about that. You heard about this?
Have you ever heard about that?
Sorry, I won't interrupt you.
What's funny is Dan looked mildly disappointed that I knew the punchline to that.
I'm sure I've told it before.
I mean, it's not your joke, you know.
I didn't say it was my joke. I said I've probably told it before.
You have probably told it before.
Don't put words in my mouth.
I'm not putting anything in your mouth.
That's like a joke you used to tell like once a week or something.
Yeah. I need your help.
So we start this episode out. They're already like, what's going on? Everyone's like super tense. And then when they scan the little ship, and the little ship from the 1990s.
It's a DY-100 class.
Yeah.
I know, right?
They scan the ship, and they find heartbeats or something, and Kirk is all like full alert, and then everyone starts running around like maniacs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
I thought Dan would have like a really awesome sound clip.
Something super fucking crazy.
Just the sound of people like running back and forth.
Just going
being industrious. You don't have any sounds of industry, human industry, Dan?
Well, I have this sound.
Continuing to pick up some form of heart action over there.
Which is not nearly as interesting as what you were hoping for.
Certainly doesn't represent sort of the nebulous concept of human industry at scale.
Wait, talk about them running around again.
Building a bridge, baby.
Talk about them running around again.
Kirk says, full alert, and then they all start running around like bees and bats.
That didn't work.
That's a slow camera zoom in.
Oh, you're right. That didn't work.
Do you have any other doodly doos and boodly bops?
Bibbly snibbles.
Yeah.
Ooh, cool. I like that one.
I do enjoy that particular musical style.
Yeah.
The 60s, man.
This is when he's doing his con stretches.
Yeah.
He's like...
Right.
It's
It's meditative.
And one of at the second time he does it, he does a Karate Kid Part 2 thing right before they chop the ice.
That's right.
Yeah. Karate Kid must have got it from them.
Before he opens the hatch, doors, he all like does some kind of funny like, whoa.
Yeah. Whoa.
Data doesn't have to do that. Data can just open doors.
Yeah, or if they have one of those door openers. I like when they have those little door
little
things.
Claspy things. Where
they go. Oh yeah,
and
right.
They go thwip and they open the door. So no, I don't have any good.
Just you can say, human screaming. You have like termite music. Maybe you learned to label it termite. Say, search for termite.
Say it one more time. They're running around.
They were running around like crazy. All right, let's take a break. When we get back from the break, we'll get started in more earnest.
Yeah. We'll try again. We'll give us another chance, please.
We'll discuss this.
Do you have any other questions?
Take two, break two.
Immensely classic episode of Star Trek: The Original Series, really like one of the most famous episodes.
And we've treated like as if it were Twisted from Voyager.
We'll talk about how hot Ricardo Montalban is. For
okay.
Example. All right. So.
Ooh, I hope
great.
So.
We will be right back.
Hello. You might have money for my cigarettes. I'm a little girl. I want the cigarettes. Give me the cigarettes and the baguettes.
All right.
Dan doesn't like my bit.
Oh, it was funny.
No, it wasn't.
It was
he didn't
funny.
Like it. He didn't like it.
A little freaky, but it's funny. You sound like
I'm a little French. I'm a little French girl.
You sound like from Fantasy Island, like the plane.
Well, he was French, he was French, right? Hervé Villechaize. I think Hervé is French.
Well, let's get going.
Like, all right, Dan's ready to
like
go.
Like the south of France or something.
I think before we start another topic,
before it goes to the next break.
Erwin, what's that a quote from? You have to say it.
Before we started another topic.
Throw Mama from the train.
Okay.
Erwin.
Yeah. She was in Goonies. Yeah.
All right. All right. I'm pushing. We're back. We're back.
Wait. What's going on?
What did I say? And we're back.
You ready, Bones?
Okay, excellent.
Kirk to boarding party.
Continuing to pick up some form of heart action over there.
Heart action. Their hearts were going 4 beats per minute.
Damn.
That's low.
That's some slow.
Low and slow. And that's how you want to do grilled cheese.
That is Largo.
And they sped up to 8 beats per minute. Which is fast, but not fast at all. But that was fast for them. For them, that was fast.
It's like a Vulcan or something.
Like if you're resting, what is? If you're resting heart rate 60, you're doing all right, basically, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
it's supposed to be 60 per minute.
I think between 60 and 65 is kind of awesome for a resting heart.
It would indeed.
I think it's like considered pretty solid, not just like regular old solid.
Very good.
Yeah.
I don't know, but that's beats per minute. I don't know what they use in metric.
Metric time.
I don't know how about them Europeans measure heartbeats.
I am willing to negotiate.
What they would call it in metric.
Yeah.
Patrick would have said that was a non sequitur. I would have said it was a semi sequitur. Don't be perverted with me.
I'm not being perverted. It's just funny. The term semi is such a funny thing. It's so funny that in certain subsets
you
of
said
English
insert.
Culture.
You said insert.
Oh my God.
You said insert.
It's not fucking Beavis and Butthead.
Well, it kind of is. You started it with this whole funny.
I know, but I was trying to put a little intellectual spin on
it. Yeah, I know you
there.
Were.
Intellectual spin on just how funny it is you can say the word semi, and for a certain group of English speakers, that automatically they extrapolate that out to semi-erect.
Oh.
Semi-erect penis, which is apparently an indication that somebody has slightly turned you on, I guess. I don't know. Maybe you're just
really comfortable.
It's a very peculiar concept, but I suppose you're bringing it up because you got a quote-unquote semi when you saw Khan come out in his little drawer.
And that irritates you, Mr. Spock.
By the way, Spock was super fucking irritated.
He was twice irritated.
So fucking irritated.
There were two irritated moments. First, he was
denied it, but he was irritated.
Yeah. So the first time he was irritated was when he was going to Bones. He was like, "Your Earthlings are stupid, and you've got eugenics, and you're stupid." And he's like,
"Oh, now wait a minute."
And he's like, "Not our attempt, Mr. Spock. A group of ambitious scientists. I'm sure you know the type, devoted to logic, completely unemotional." And then Doctor's like, "Spock was like, Doctor, I would be pleased." And then Kirk's like, all right. But you saw, if you watch Spock, you see him look forward and he's like holding back. He's pissed. He's like, yeah. He's like, well, he's I never.
These are not my kind of scientists.
I never would think, how dare he?
Spock is like, I'm strong enough to tear you in fucking half. Yeah. Piece of shit.
And then later, they were at the table and Kirk was like, he was the best of the tyrants and the most dangerous. They were supermen in a sense. Stronger, braver, certainly more ambitious, more daring. And Spock's like, can't believe this shit.
Spock is fucking flabbergasted.
He's like, gentlemen, this romanticism about a ruthless dictator is like, you know.
I mean, he's bringing up a good point.
He's completely appalled.
People get a little carried away sometimes.
Yeah, and Kirk's response was funny. It's like, what does he say? We can admire him
agreeing with him.
Is it admire
the right? Which is also another point.
It says we can be against him and admire him all at the same time. And Spock's like, and the way Spock says illogical, he's just like harumph. Illogical. Huh. But then Kirk, could this be the first recorded instance of somebody responding with? Totally, because Kirk responded with like totally.
Did you record it?
Yeah, I did. He goes like totally, like.
But he didn't say it all Keanu Reeves style.
Totally.
The way he said it, that's kind of like how like that's not your normal totally response.
Yeah. It's the 60s.
That's more of like a dude totally. That's like dude totally.
That's some media archaeology you've done there.
I thought you were gonna say meaty archaeology.
No, we're not gonna talk about meat again. No.
Well done, meat.
No, so here's Spock goes.
Illogical.
And Kirk goes,
Totally,
dude. You know, he's like, totally.
Yeah.
This is like the first time in history on media that we've heard someone use totally in that way.
Wow, we would have to do a little bit more digging to confirm that. But I think you are on something.
You're going in the right direction, sir.
Oh, thanks, guys. Thanks for agreeing with me. Make me feel a little smarter because I've been feeling really down on myself lately. But I need you guys to make me feel better. So thanks for making me feel better. Without you guys, I would just be like, I wouldn't know what to do with myself. I'd be so sad all the time.
Is this one of those is this one of those Tinkerbell situations?
Well, either choke me or cut my throat. Make up your mind.
Do you need the audience to clap to make you stay in existence?
Well, like a fairy, like a pixie dust.
Well,
fairy?
I just asked, is this a Tinkerbell scenario?
Oh, that you just did say that, didn't you?
Yeah,
I missed that part.
Oh, it's okay.
I was too busy feeling sorry for myself. Thank you very much. We got to get back to talking about this episode. This is my fault. This is my digression. Okay. I take full responsibility.
All right. Well, thank you.
Just like Kirk did in this episode.
Totally.
Totally. Totally.
Quicker, Dan.
Totally.
There we go.
because Kirk, like, okay, like, Kirk was like, I'm going to, okay, Khan, I'm going to give you access to all this technical manuals and shit.
First mistake.
But he specified, he's like, this is available to anybody, right? So, but my question is, okay, and let me finish here but with my full thing here because I've got a couple things in mind. Mm. My question is why are they making tech manuals that allow you to take over the ship? Now, my first hypothesis, maybe my first hypothesis is they didn't, and it's oversight by the writers. But I don't think that's true. I think what probably happened is that the people who made the tech manuals didn't take into account someone who's as smart as Khan being able to use this
Somebody
information to take over a ship. Like they
murderous
didn't
murderous dictator.
They didn't realize, but I mean, it's like, okay, I don't think it's that hard to withhold information that would allow someone to use it to take over a ship. Like you don't need to be you don't need to be as smart as someone to know what information to withhold for them to prevent them from fucking your shit up. You know what I mean? Like how are they releasing information that Khan could use against them like that? Like I said, he's so smart that he went down, he took that information and went down an avenue that they didn't expect him to, which is how he was able to subvert them. But I think that's a pretty big oversight on like the fucking the writers of these tech manuals.
In the military, like you learn some stuff, they give you manuals so you can learn some stuff, and then you're supposed to like get rid of the manual.
But
you're not supposed to share it with this dude that you found that you fucking unfroze.
But Kirk specifically said he was like, I'm giving him same shit that's available to any.
Anybody who's like a responsible Starfleet.
I think he said any patient. He was like any patient. He was available
to
anybody
on a Starfleet vessel. Presumably, would be a Starfleet person. But I took it to mean that as an example. That in the future they couldn't even conceive of somebody
inconceivable.
They couldn't even conceive of somebody using this very accurate information in a negative way.
Right.
Which of course is sort of silly.
This
but
guy's from the 90s, though.
Yeah, and we're talking about a 23rd century utopia.
Yeah.
Inconceivable.
Right. So that's
inconceivable. Inconceivable.
Inconceivable.
Anybody want a peanut?
One of the things but they're playing around with in this episode, sort of thematically, right? Because that's this episode, you've touched on it, Dan, right? It's this 1990s sexy guy versus
Before we move on, though, I really wanted to. TNG, the Enterprise in TNG was a civilian ship. I mean, it had civilians on it.
Lots.
There was a change definitely. Whole families on it.
TOS, is this strictly a military ship?
It's like, more military.
You got to imagine there's families. There's civilians, like the family members ship.
I prefer, instead of saying military, I prefer just to say Starfleet, because there's a whole separate debate about how.
Okay.
Starfleet certainly is run like a military.
Okay, my point is
particularly in the TOS area.
My point is, we don't see families on TOS. Okay, my point is
no kids.
You're saying I would say Starfleet. Would you consider Starfleet non-civilian?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Although, who knows? I don't think there's nobody on this Enterprise.
Uniformed service.
This is only people who are there to do a job. You know what? It's akin to an Antarctic research station.
Okay.
A research station in Geneva.
The way Kirk made it seem is that they made it seem like these things are available to the public. You don't need to sign an NDA to read them. But it could have been an oversight on his part, and that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Because he's from the future where everybody's like, they're trying to put forth, you know, that most people aren't just going to do bad shit.
Exactly. I think that's
theoretically possible.
Everybody's going to do knowledge work for the greater
knowledge
good.
Knowledge is for everybody.
Yeah, knowledge is
we don't
knowledge.
Have any crazy augments running around.
It's like in TNG when the people from the past came to the future.
People from the past?
Remember
the people from the past?
They were from the 1980s.
The investor dude? Yeah. And he just wandered up onto the bridge.
I know.
There was no security because it's he's just wandering under the bridge. Why would he do that?
They didn't do security on the Enterprise D until about season 3.
Yeah,
and they started being like, "Wait a second,
you gotta lock that shit down."
Yeah, you do. Mm-hmm. All right. Speaking of the eugenics wars,
I have many questions.
Khan, this guy shows up. They unfreeze him. They find this ship full of bodies.
Unfrozen,
sort of glossed over that.
Unfrozen con man lawyer.
They unfreeze this person. The historian lady, who, by the way, the way this episode handles Marla MacGyver's is hilarious.
Yes.
Because on the one hand, she
what's her name? McGivers.
Yeah. Okay.
MacGyver.
So by the way, again,
from the start, Kirk doesn't think much of this person.
So I've seen this episode 100 times. I also always remember her name as McGivers, which is fucked up. I feel so bad every time because every time I watch
MacGyver,
that's the whole plot point is that she's being diminished because of being they're not. Kirk's not remembering her name properly.
Well, so his line is, "I'll need somebody familiar with the late 20th century. Here's a chance for that historian to do something for a change." Now I can't tell if he's against the concept of having a historian or he just generally doesn't like her.
Well, exactly. Yeah. It's like, what's the deal here?
Yeah.
Right. And then he doesn't get her name right, which is odd. You almost are like, I know. It's a stereotype that Kirk is a man slut, and he was not, in fact, that. But sometimes it seems like, did he try something on with this girl? And
penal deportation.
It didn't work out. I don't know. It was a little bit weird with this whole Kirk and MacGyver's thing. But what was even weirder was a meta weirdness. So in the episode, most of the time we hear her name, it's either MacGyver's, Lieutenant MacGyver's, or Lieutenant McGivers. I think they only mention her first name like once briefly.
Lieutenant MacGyver's.
But in the episode credits, the character is only listed as Marla. Not Lieutenant McGivers or Lieutenant Marla MacGyvers or whatever. It's just Marla. So they were like, we don't want to give this person a rank or a last name in the credits. Even though in the episode, she didn't go by Marla. Almost all the time, we were
I think I guess by the end of the episode, she's just Marla because she's not in Starfleet.
I think they only mention her. They mention her first name, I think, twice. But they Yeah, so far I'm only finding like two mentions of her name, but when I think of her, I always think of MacGyvers or MacGyver. You know, I don't think of Marla.
No. MacGyver.
If I hadn't been reading referencing the script from Chakotea.net.
Chakotea.net, where It's Got Star Trek gets all its script needs, at least for TOS through Enterprise.
Enterprise,
yeah. Not so much after that.
But I don't remember, Marla doesn't stick out. The MacGyvers is what sticks out.
She doesn't look like a Marla.
So I don't know why, why they... Yeah, they don't really give her a lot of credit. You know, they don't even give her a last name.
Well, she's not that impressive.
Well, and they, well, the thing is the, well, the character is a confusing character because on the one hand, she does appear to be presented as a formidable personality, like you're sort of setting her up like that.
A learned scholar.
Learned scholar.
Artistic talent.
And stands up for herself even in front of the captain when the captain mispronounces her name. On the other hand, she's also doing this whole like classic like, oh, this dude's fucking hot, so yeah, I'm gonna like
I'm just gonna
turn traitor against my whole crew.
Okay. Yeah, I do have a list of like, ooh, it's called She Falls in Love.
Yeah.
Sounds like a name of a terrible movie.
It sounds like the name of an excellent list.
Sounds like the name of an excellent list. Hey boo boo.
Hey boo boo.
Hey boo boo.
A piece of toast.
So she, from the start, you can tell Kirk's against her. And when she goes down, when they go down onto the ship or go over to the ship, and she's like magnificent when she sees like Khan or whatever.
Well, yeah.
That I think is what pissed Kirk off, right? Because that's when he was like, you need to be acting more professional. Because that was like the only thing she did.
He was threatened.
But like
she also paused a little bit
because Khan is way hotter.
At one point when he asked her a question and she took a second
to did she?
Yeah, but it was very brief. Well, you could see that aggravated him too.
Well, there was one part when she corrected him when she was like MacGyver's, like he looked around and was like, get a load of her. What is she doing? Why is she talking?
And meanwhile, McCoy was like, sorry, I'm not paying attention because I'm dealing with the fact that my haircut's weird this week. My haircut's especially weird this week. No, seriously, go back and look at it.
McCoy, I doubt you would understand.
McCoy's haircut this week.
Especially when he was wearing his dress uniform, he looked especially goofy.
But puffy and weird.
Without knowing the history between Kirk and Marla MacGyver, MacGyver's Lieutenant MacGyver's, without knowing their history, like, I don't think anything she did on that ship was specifically out of line. Like, you could make the argument that, yeah, she thought it was magnificent because she's a historian and she's seeing some people from hundreds of years ago. Yeah. That's magnificent. Yeah.
And what type of people did she see? She saw some mid-European.
There were some other kinds.
Oriental.
Yes.
Some Oriental people. Yeah,
there was specifically...
Western, mid-European, Latin, Oriental.
Oriental.
Yeah. So, there was that part. But,
Sorry.
I don't think she did anything unprofessional up to that point, which is why, like, I think the first line of him saying, like, maybe she'd do something useful for a change, there must have been a history that line was supposed to imply.
Seems like.
Because that context alone from her on the ship saying magnificent and saying whatever she did to Kirk, I don't think that was enough for him to reprimand her, because she could legitimately have thought, like, this is very interesting. Obviously, it turned out it wasn't, but, like, or maybe Kirk is so savvy with like, relationships that he could tell the way she was looking at Khan. Mm. Maybe he was like, maybe I'm just super unsmooth and I couldn't see it in her eyes, what Kirk could see in her eyes, where I saw someone interested in a historical...
Absolutely.
Bodies. Pointy boobies.
There were pointy boobies.
Weirdly pointy. Because again,
it was the 90s.
It was the 1960s, imagining the 1990s and the producers being like, you know, the boys love the pointy boobs.
So the
pointier the better.
So where I did
gotta put an eye where on I
saw
that shit.
So where I saw someone interested in historical artifacts, living or dead, Kirk saw, because he's so savvy, he saw that she was looking at him as a little bit more than that. Wow. So that just means that Kirk is more savvy about that kind of stuff than I am, I guess. Maybe that's all I could take.
Well,
so I felt very
starship captain.
So I felt very threatened by this episode, because what this episode was telling me is that I don't know anything about relationships and Kirk does. Yeah. And I don't like being told. I don't like when TV tells me what I do and don't know.
I wouldn't sell yourself so short. I mean, we know Kirk's reputation.
And it's merely one interpretation.
He's not the best with human relationships.
Another interpretation of the specific line about the 20th century historian, or the person who understands the late 20th century and being useful for a change, could also just be interpreted as, yes, isn't it? It's kind of interesting to have a historian on a starship.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Cool that they have it, but you could, like, also see how they could be like, well, how many adventures is this going to be useful to us?
I mean,
especially for a ship that does not have children on it.
Yeah.
So there's no school to teach.
She's not shooting the phasers.
Nope.
She's not launching any torpedoes.
She's not damning them or anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
She is, however, very quickly falling in love with Ricardo Montalban, which is understandable,
which I have,
as he's presented. But Dan, you have this list that you advertised earlier.
Yeah, we can go over it if you want. We would very much like to.
I
think that's
so. First, she's
the reason why we're here.
Listen to the old list.
This is an 8-point list. First, she sees him in the sleepy chamber, and she says, "Magnificent," which we went over. She goes,
"Magnificent."
And Kirk notices, even though she doesn't explicitly do anything against the rules, he detects her attraction.
Mm-hmm. That's what we're led to believe.
Yeah, yeah. Number two, later on, she visits Khan, and he keeps flirting with her. And then he tells her that, like, her hair looks better down, which is like, that's like, I have a one too after you say yours. Maybe they're the same.
They might be the same, because what Khan is doing here is he's doing that classic. He's like, I'm going to make an essentially imperceptible change to your physical body and then compliment you for that.
Yes. Yeah.
And pretend like it's a big deal.
It was all my idea.
I'm pretty sure if Khan were around today, he'd had one of those men's rights YouTube channels where he'd teach betas how to date.
And he wouldn't be getting any chicks whatsoever.
Oh no, he would probably be getting chicks because like the classic gag with those guys who like train guys who don't get quote-unquote don't get chicks. The people who offer that, sometimes they're the one they're getting laid, but the thing is they can't teach that. Yeah, right. They're just saying if you're an asshole to women, then they'll like you. No, that's not why it works
for them.
He's leaving out that he's also like a coke dealer or something. Right. You know, there's something else going on there.
Well, I was gonna say that like her reasoning for not putting her hair down is she says it was comfortable like it was. I don't think that your hair done up with a bunch of spray and shit is more comfortable than leaving it down.
I agree.
Yeah, I don't know, whatever kind of
barrettes or whatever were poked in her head.
Disagree with the premise.
Yes. Number three, he comes to her room on the way to dinner. She has redone her hair to his liking. Mm-hmm. He notices that she admires these male warriors, and then they make out. Now,
you've described that so succinctly. I think that would fit in a single blue sky skeet.
Yes.
Skeet.
Is that what they call them?
I believe so, yes.
Now, in that scene, he goes... there were these two parts in this episode. I think one of them, he goes, all bold men from the past, Richard, Leif Erikson, Napoleon, a hobby of yours, such men. He's referring to her painting, but that's kind of a funny way of wording it. Like saying these are men your hobby. Because another time.
She is a historian.
Another time she goes, perhaps some other time when you feel more like talking about the past. And Khan goes, I'm glad you came. Please do it again. Do you think that was sexual? I'm glad you came. I'm asking a serious question. I'm glad you came. Please do it again. Well, and then later he's like, a hobby of yours, such men. These are sexual innuendos here.
Yeah, a little bit.
Maybe in the 60s they didn't think that way.
So for the audience at home, Dan is using his serious face.
I am, and I'm using my serious hand gesture.
He's not using his joking face.
He's not saying poop.
Earlier, Dan was going on about something, but the way he was moving his body made it look like he was the host of a children's TV show.
When he's got two hands up in the air, and you know he's like, there's something up.
But he's like waving his hands around like Tim Robinson. Yeah. But no, this is the serious face. He means this for real. He wants us to know if we think that when he says, I'm glad you came, that he's referring to her achieving an orgasm, presumably, right?
And then later when
and
he's like, a hobby of yours, such men. You could say the painting is a hobby, or is it like admiring these tough guys?
Right, tough guys from the past. Yeah. That's how he wins her over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The difficulty with this episode is this: how quickly he wins her over to be a traitor to all her people.
Right. Yeah,
we have seen this before in Star Trek, where
he almost wins over everybody else too, though.
Well, it's kind of like in Star Trek V. Everyone's like pretty quick to go on Cyborg's side, right? It's a sort of a similar thing.
Same shit.
Because it happens in the blink of an eye.
It's like, Cyborg. Oh, this guy.
It's for the purpose of the story, and it's unfortunate that the result is that it sort of diminishes an otherwise. At least partially progressive representation of a.
You're an old-fashioned boy.
A person here, but yeah, it's you have to really believe it. Now, here's the thing that this episode has going for it: that helps you take that shortcut to believing it is that it's fucking Ricardo Montalban.
Right. Yeah.
And you can actually...
He's really good in this.
He's really fucking good. Yeah, both as an actor and as a presence. Like, when McCoy is like, he's got that electrical, you know, charm or whatever, you believe it.
And yep. like, and even in this, in TOS, which people have talked about, you know, has a camp feel from time to time.
It's camp!
Like, I didn't get that vibe from him like at all in this episode. He's probably one of the best like guest stars on this TOS easily. Yeah. But he was enthralling really the whole way through. Yes. You know, like all of his lines, you know. He's like,
improve a mechanical device and you may double productivity.
Yeah.
I love his
nobody
cadence.
Has that deliberate. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
One man would have ruled eventually.
There's some smart dialogue. Like,
it has been said that social occasions are only warfare concealed.
And like when his line about like how like you're an excellent captain. You let your first in command make the attacks, and you sit back and watch.
Yeah. And then Kirk is all like, "You have a tendency to express things in military terms,
yeah,
don't
right.
you,
yeah,
don't you, Mister Kirk?
No, but it was like a really like fascinating like dialogue. I thought that they were having at that dinner.
It was. Yes, it was two people, antagonists, right from the get-go, pretty much. Yeah. Right? Like, so that's the thing, is Khan is acting shady straight away.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, immediately. And Kirk cottons on to this pretty quickly. But, we're in the middle of the
Sorry,
I was getting so excited talking about how excellent Ricardo Montalban is, and importantly... And this, of course, happens again in Star Trek too. How good Shatner is at rising to his level, in that we believe both of them. We believe Khan as being the superior person, even though some of the mistakes he makes are sort of dumb mistakes. He just makes a lot of arrogance-related mistakes.
Yeah.
Maybe you have a list of arrogance-related mistakes.
No, I don't actually. That's next time we do this episode.
Or we let the audience make it at home.
It's
got Star Trek home list kit.
I'm sorry, you said about
arrogance mistakes.
You said some words just then, and it sounded like ha-ma-ma-ga-ga-ga-ga-ma. That's what it sounded like to me. I literally don't know what you said.
Jangly jangly.
What do you think, Jesse? Did I say something? Was it me being aphasic?
Because this is what I heard.
I think perhaps Dan was distracted.
No. I tried to listen to what you said, and to me it sounded like ha-ma-ga-ga-ga-ga-ma-ga.
Was it when I said the It's Got Star Trek home list kit?
Like, maybe that's what it was you said.
Because what I'm saying is we're putting forward a topic. The topic could be whenever...
You make
a list at home.
You make a list at home and then you get a telephone.
It's like one of Dan's lists, but you get to make it yourself. And it's on the topic of... Khan's arrogant mistakes. How many times he made a mistake through because of arrogance in this episode?
Oh, now wait a minute.
What?
Okay, number four. After dinner, she comes to his room and apologizes.
Is that a joke about fucking orgasm, Dad?
No, because this is me.
Is it a joke about orgasm?
Are you making fun of a point I was making? Restart. No, wait a second. No, this is interesting because this is very telling. Because this tells me that Patrick didn't agree with my analysis earlier, which is fine. You don't have to agree with it. But then why didn't you just say then that you didn't agree instead of passive aggressively? Retroactively making fun of me about it later.
I'm sorry.
You see what you did? Like, instead of challenging my assertion, being like, no, I don't think I see that, Dan. I think you look too much into that. I don't think they thought like that. Instead, you made this, like, I'll say it again, passive-aggressive, retroactive joke about, like, what the assertion I made before. So I am to believe that you don't think that when he said that she came again or whatever, like, you don't think that was, like... You don't think that was them making some kind of thing. It's very obvious, Jesse, what Patrick thinks.
What was the point you were making just for this list item?
This list item is after dinner, she comes to his room, which is not in the episode. See? And he's like, maybe she came. Like what you said earlier when you were quoting the dialogue. Like, maybe it's like, you're doing that now, too. Yeah, sure, Dan. Sure. Wow, you're really smart at looking into things.
Very puerile.
After dinner, she arrives at his room and apologizes for how they behave. She compares them to warriors. to different warriors. He makes a move, and for some reason now she's resisting. Mm. She makes a weak attempt at resisting. But then he starts manipulating her by acting like indignant about it, you know? He's telling her, he's like, no, go, get the fuck out of here, you know?
He's being very dramatic.
And then he's like, you can stay if it's your if it's your decision. That's how they get you. Yeah. It's like the old thing about vampires. There's some kind of thing about vampires.
There's a thing.
Where it's
when
like
they glamour you?
Where you're not, it's like vampires, and I don't know how widely they apply this rule, but I've heard before that the deal with the vampires is they can't cross into through your door
unless you invite them.
You have to invite them in, and it's kind of like it's sort of like a metaphor about like once it's their decision. It's like the whole Matrix blue pill red pill, not like that internet men's rights blue pill red pill bullshit.
No,
like the
never.
Matrix blue pill red pill, where
the
it's
real
like,
shit.
The real shit, yeah. Where it's like, I can force something upon you, but you will always be pissed that it wasn't your decision. But once it's your decision, then you're like, well, I guess I put myself into this situation. I have no one to blame but myself. Yeah. I'm in it. This was all me. And so that's how
like a timeshare situation.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So he was like, you can stay if it's your decision. And so she's like, and so that's how he got her. And he manipulated her into thinking that she was making the decision that she originally thought she wasn't going to make. Yeah. She didn't think she was going to make this decision. She wanted to leave, but he manipulated her, making her think that she wanted to stay, which apparently she did.
Yeah. But she also showed up putting herself in the position to make the
decision. Exactly.
Decision.
So she right.
She didn't. Think so it was going around.
So and then she like rescued Kurt.
How many more list items are there?
There's only a few more. I'll go quick.
Hell yeah.
No, we should take a break.
Okay.
And tease.
Take
the
a
remainder
break.
Because you never know. There might be people that be like, you know what? 2/3 of this show is a fucking enough.
Yeah.
I'm going to pause it now.
I get the deal.
But that's
these guys
would have been like, we've already heard of all of Dan's list items, but now they won't. There's at least a few more. You gotta keep listening, otherwise you're not gonna hear the remainder of Dan's
duty
list.
Or no duty, you never know.
You're good at sales, Patrick.
I'm trying to get better. All right,
I'm real soupy about him.
Okay, but I gotta say we'll be right back. So we will be right back.
Go or stay, but do it because it is what you wish to do.
I would have stayed.
Yeah, me too. It was really sexy. Yeah.
And we're back.
This grows tiresome. You must now ask to stay.
Ask to stay, indeed.
Yeah, like that guy lays it down.
Well, it was so transparent.
These are the rules.
But sometimes, here's the thing. Yeah. Here's the thing. His behavior is horrible.
Yes,
right?
He's pretty bad.
Certainly,
he's a character.
From the perspective of somebody who is he's manipulating somebody. He's for various selfish reasons. Okay. Although by the end of the episode,
I am such a man.
I guess he is ultimately into MacGyvers, right? Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, there's also it's almost like a performative manipulation.
Yeah.
That she's smart enough to see through. He knows that she sees through it. I'm not justifying it, but I just think it's interesting to view it from that sort of choreographed bit of dramatic back and forth that was interesting. I don't know exactly what to make of it from a thematic perspective, but I did enjoy it, particularly how it was performed.
You're an old-fashioned boy, McCoy.
With a weird haircut. Seriously, folks, check it out.
I'll have to watch again because I didn't notice his haircut.
It was a little odd.
His haircut's a little weird.
I doubt you would understand.
So, right. So to continue this, the list. So she surrendered so much that he can tell her that he will take over the ship and she'll go along with it. Basically, at this point,
even if he lets her go and not join. Which was an interesting power move. There.
Yeah, I would say like he says you can go. Yeah.
Exactly. He's not like I'm going to kill you because I told you my secret.
And that's why it's so effective because it like what I was saying before like if a vampire you have to invite him in like it has to be her decision, and now that it's her decision she's more likely to do crazy shit that he asks.
And it's a fascinating expression of his confidence in his power.
And if we had more time for the episode, maybe he could have like been like no go, it has to be your decision, and she could have been like well fuck you, and then all he would have done is simply like come at her later basically and with a similar tactic until she finally agreed to. The point was is he was going to keep pressuring her until she agreed to go along with him, until she thought it was her decision, and then he would have whipped out the ship thing. So if he had lost that round, if the episode could have been longer, he could have lost that round and then they could have come back to it later. You see what I'm saying? Like it's like the point is that even if he lost and she did leave, he would have still had opportunity to bring her to his side. I think
he's interesting in how he uses his communication to position himself relative to others, because in the scene where they do the dinner conversation, which we already discussed, mm-hmm. he gets up at the end and he wants to retreat. He's admitting that he's having to retreat from the situation because it is not quite what he thought it would be. He's a little off his game.
He needs to rest.
And when he asks permission...
Well, no, I'm good, but not that good.
He asks Kirk permission to leave the table. Now, it's presented in the one way of him just being a classy person who understands the rules of etiquette. But in another way, it's Khan saying, okay, you won this fucking round. I'm positioned beneath you temporarily. I'm going to ask you permission, because earlier in the episode, Khan was just like, you will wake up my people. Mm-hmm. He was an order.
Yeah.
And it was not even like a
military
order. He's
like, I'm the guy
that
gives orders.
It was just like, it's my wish, so it should happen.
I'm Khan, and I'm right. saying.
But now, in the dinner scene, he's got to ask Kirk permission to leave, even though he knows, of course, Kirk would have no problem with him walking off. But with Marla MacGyver's, and this other scene, again, reverses things. So he demonstrates to her, saying, like, I couldn't care less that you know my quote-unquote secret. I'm powerful. I'm so powerful that it doesn't matter.
Speaking of him being assertive and outright aggressive at the beginning, like, first of all, like, McCoy had, like, I'm guessing that was, like, on display were, like, ancient surgical tools. Like, they don't use scalpels and stuff in right. the TOS, do
Bone
they?
Zones. It was just art.
It was just yeah. art, yeah. And yeah. he took...
It was right next to the, they had a display of ancient hair-cutting scissors.
Ah, right.
Yeah.
Yep. Ancient haircutting.
He got a weird haircut.
I haven't had a haircut.
That's why he had a weird haircut.
In like a decade.
He used the
so.
Ancient scissors.
But Jesse, you said you haven't had a haircut in a decade?
Yeah. Well, I mean.
You've got long hair.
Y'all know. Yeah. I have long hair. Yeah.
Interesting.
Y'all know me. You know what I do for a living.
But I was saying, so Khan.
I don't get haircuts.
Khan stole that surgical tool, that scalpel, and like put up to McCoy. And McCoy was a straight badass, yeah. like in that scene.
McCoy is often a badass.
But like,
he likes plantations more than I would like.
But like, oh, no.
But he's a
but
pretty
he had
bad badass
the knife,
dude.
The knife
but
up
he, has, he has nice hands.
But he had the knife up to his neck, and he's like.
Would be most effective if you would cut the carotid artery,
like
just under the left ear.
That was like the last thing he said. The first thing he started off with.
Well, either choke me or cut my throat. Yeah. Make up your mind.
He can give it or he can take
like
it away.
But he was just straight up like, either fucking kill me or let me go, because I'm not doing what you want me to do.
I like when Khan was all like, where am I or whatever. He was like, you're like holding a knife to your doctor's throat, you jackass.
Exactly. That was cool.
Yeah, no, that was for real super cool. Super although cool. You could argue one interpretation of McCoy being so quote unquote badass is that
he wants to die.
He wants to die. He wants to commit suicide because
of his bad hair.
His weird haircut. He's like, I've been living with this for the last 3 days.
The makeup crew.
It's God not going to grow out for a long time.
So, okay. Back
it's
going to
grow out all weird.
Back at the ranch. So they have a conversation. Marla's like, you won't harm anyone. And he's like, now you question me. And she's like, no, this is after she agrees to help him. She's like, you won't hurt anyone, right? And he's like, will you assist me? She's like, oh, please, Khan, don't ask me. And then he gets pissed. He's like, leave me. Go away. Sorry, that was... He says, leave me, go away.
We're doing a little bit of a Montalban accent there.
Yeah, I feel very ashamed of myself. I didn't mean to take on that accent.
I think that's fine. He did.
It's hard to resist.
He did commercials for those cars.
Okay.
You know, the Corinthian leather, rich Corinthian leather.
I apologize. Yeah. He says, Khan says, leave me then, go, I say. And then he indirectly threatens her by asking if she's when he asks her if she's questioning him. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like a threat, right? And then when
it was very cornholio. Like, are you threatening?
Yes, it was.
I'm not as good. Can you do the voice, Dan? Are you good at doing a cornholio voice?
I'm not really.
Are you threatening?
I mean, all
Jesse's there's a pretty one.
I mean, all you have to do
are
is.
Are you threatening? I can't. My throat's a little dry.
Everyone can do a Beavis of sorts.
I used to talk like that in general back in high school. I just sort of sounded like
I'm not going to do it.
All right.
But when she's resistant, he physically throws her to the ground.
Yeah.
And on top of that, he once again tells her to go, which we've discovered, like, that's apparently our kryptonite, is tell her to go and she'll stay. But, like, he fucking abuses her. He throws her to the ground, right? Oh,
yeah. It's shameful.
And so she's going along with this. Now, five, Marla's now become complicit in the takeover of the ship. And she puts a phaser up to the transporter chief.
Very unstarfy.
She puts a fucking phaser up.
And she holds it all funny. Did you see how she was holding that phaser? Whoa. Like, she's never fucking held a phaser before?
I see this hill.
I'm sorry.
No, this is the hill you're going to die on. I just
like remembered that all of a sudden, like,
just
like,
get all animated.
Like, she was just holding it, like, you know, it's almost like in the movie where,
that movie where the stuff happens.
Uhura is like holding a phaser.
Yeah. Is that like Star Trek 3?
Star Trek.
Yeah, the search for Spock when she's holding up the phaser. Young guy.
And, yeah, the guy in the transporter bay.
That monstrously weird looking guy. Yeah.
So she's like now holding phasers up to Starfleet officers. But she, number six, she finally draws the line after Uhura gets hit. Mm-hmm. Uhura gets smacked in the face.
The line must be drawn here and no further.
Yeah exactly. But only slightly. And number seven, she goes up to Khan and she pretends that she's too like weak-willed to watch, you know. And he's like, oh, I thought you'd be stronger.
She just leaves.
But she's really, she's off saving Kirk. So she's redeeming herself a bit.
Which is kind of okay.
And she tricks the guard looking away and then she drugs him and then opens that chamber. I don't know what that chamber he was in was. It was some kind of vacuum chamber.
It was like
a random vacuum chamber. In case you got a vac, put something in a vacuum.
Vacuum chamber.
Maybe it was kind of fucked up.
Maybe you put food in there or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Just to vacuumize your food.
It could be like a food dehydrator. Or maybe your duvets when you put your Starfleet duvets away for dinner. For winter. Jesus fucking
put your duvets
maybe you
away
can cook stuff like all. If you put stuff in vacuum, maybe it cooks in a weird way.
Well, that's true. That's like a pressure cooker, except that's the opposite. Does a pressure cooker do pressure, right?
Well, I'm saying, it's like you suck the thing out of the...
It might preserve it.
You suck the thing out of the bag, and it makes the food stay good. Incidentally, when they were all like running out of air on the ship, they were all passed out, except for Spock and Kirk. Now, that made me wonder, like, if you're in that situation, and there's no... And you all have equal amount of no air... Mm-hmm. Would you all pass out at around the same point, or would some people stay awake longer than the others?
Spock's going to last longer
because he's Vulcan.
Because he's a little different.
I agree with
Kirk
is just determined.
You'd think, like, I can buy.
But maybe some people who are, like, more fit would last longer. Maybe people who are.
I think there would be a spectrum.
But, like, you know, maybe if you had too many muscles, you wouldn't last as long because you would require more air to fill all that body mass. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, that reminds me of one of my favorite parts is when, like, they release the gas on various decks and they gas the briefing room where like most of the like Khan and his minions are and so like Scotty all like takes off but like he doesn't hesitate to fucking clock that one dude. He's like I'm getting the fuck out of here but I'm gonna fucking clock this dude on my way.
I have it in my notes because I watched it twice and on the second time
it's totally fucking Scotty.
I noticed that he punched the guy on the first time but on the second time whereas I noticed he actually like goes out of his way
makes
a little
bit. Fucking
he's
point.
Like okay I'm about to get gas but I have enough time to fucking just clock this
I'm
motherfucker.
Laboring, but I'm taking you.
I'm gonna clock this guy in the fucking face and then he all like looks around and is like oh. He's like, you've been Scotty, and then he like darts out,
but then he still passes out.
Yeah, he's like, because he stayed in a little bit extra because he went out of his way to fucking just be like, I'm just gonna punch that one dude in the fucking face. It was great. It was hilarious. I'm not even 100% sure that was planned. It might have just been James doing
exactly.
You know, I was like, I'm gonna fucking punch this extra in the goddamn face.
How did they do that show without? They couldn't have done that show without James doing.
It was brilliant.
So getting to the end here. So she saves Kirk. Eight. At the end, it seems like Khan's not too mad at Marla for betraying him, by the way. She completely betrays him. And maybe he's like, it's almost like maybe he admired her bold behavior.
That's how I interpreted it.
Yeah.
That he was impressed with her. I think he was always impressed with her, but that made him be like, oh, okay, she pulled one over on me.
Yeah.
And it's also a typically arrogant thing because he's like, I'm so smart that if she tricked me, she must be smart. It can't be that I'm a jackass. Who made an arrogant mistake? There's a clue for the home list. There's a clue for the home list.
The home list?
The it's got Star Trek home list kit.
Okay, right. Not the ga-ga, ba-ga, ba-ga-ga.
No.
How long?
Not that bad.
Have you been sleeping?
But it's weird. By the end, mm-hmm. even though he's like manipulating her, he like physically abuses uh-huh. her, and she betrays him, and all this stuff. Yeah. It seems like they end up with a normal, healthy relationship almost, uh-huh. at least on the surface. I'm not saying it is a normal, healthy relationship, but at the end, she's all like, "Yeah, this is my man," and he's like, "Yeah, this is my woman." You know, like they're all like, "Yes, this is."
She's gonna do some farmsteading.
She's like,
set up a tiny house.
Superior woman.
He's like, "Yeah, like it seems like they have a good thing going by the end, even though there's all this fucked up shit that like led up to it, like which makes you wonder if it was really healthy, but at the same time, like that's how it's presented in the show, is that they got yeah. they're made for each other somehow.
The subtext is that because she's a historian and because he's from the 1990s, they have a shared love of the X-Files right. and other similar shows like Millennium. Yeah. And
Sliders.
They're all like, that was a rad show, wasn't it? So they can talk about it. Because nobody else wants to talk about the X-Files in the 23rd century.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 That's exactly.
They talk about Seinfeld.
Appalling, but there, nevertheless.
There's a remaining list item?
That was it.
Oh, that was the end of the list. That was an eight-point list.
That was an eight-point list right. drawn out. Botany Bay.
Yes.
And
or as Chekhov says in Star Trek 2, Botanipe?
Oh,
Botanipe?
Really?
Botanipe?
Chekhov was not in this episode.
So how does that compare, like, to the... It's been a while since...
The Botany Bay?
It's been a while since I've seen Star Trek Wrath of Khan, so I can't... Yeah. I can't remember. Yeah. Do we see the planet in Wrath of
yeah,
Khan?
Yeah, yeah.
And they go to that planet.
And has the Botany... But Chekhov says Botany Bay because he's reading the belt... There's a strap or something.
I'm just wondering if they're similar as they said they were. They were like, Botany Bay is just like this planet.
Yeah. Oh, well, we see the planet, but only after the planet is fucked up.
I think it's just a metaphor.
So we don't know.
It's a metaphor.
Because they left them on SETI Alpha 5.
Right.
But then SETI Alpha...
But this is SETI Alpha.
A short while after they arrived, SETI Alpha 6 exploded, shifting the orbit.
I mean, it may be a metaphor, but if it was like the planet they ended up on Star Trek 3, like, I would hope, like, that's not a good metaphor, right? Nah. Because obviously we're talking about Star Trek 2, but I'm saying, like... Nah. If it's different enough, it's not a good metaphor. I'm just saying if they were somewhat similar in the context of this episode, that's all we know.
Well, we might learn more in Star Trek Con.
What's Botany Bay like? I want to know.
Well, check it out because
it's like in Australia.
Right? Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Well, and as we know, Starfleet likes to I'm bringing this up because the way this episode concludes, I love that they do the full court hearing. Formal wear, formal outfits. They ring the bell the three times. They take a very long time to ring the bell fucking three times. All of that stuff. And then Kirk, because he decides that Kirk is like, I'm one of those wacky judges that comes up with creative sentences. Like, you got to wear a sandwich sign that says something goofy. Like, Kirk is like, you know what? I don't have a lot of faith in that,
that was
fucking...
The Die Hard with Sam Jackson. He
did
that.
I don't know.
Yeah, but actual there are judges who have done this, who have become famous because like, I'm not going to sentence you to jail. I'm going to make you dance in the moonlight with an old lady so you can learn what old ladies are.
These young Supermen.
They were Superman.
But Kirk comes up with this whole plan where he's like, Superman. This dude's not all bad. He just wants to take over the planet. He just wants to take over a planet. So I'll give him a planet. And he can go hang out there, and they can go have some fun.
Yeah, that was a bad call, Kirk.
Spock
kind of foreshadowed that. He's like, I wonder what this is going
to be. Yeah.
And it does, as we know, turn out to be a bad call. We learn more details, presumably, in Star Trek Con, the podcast. Yeah. And, of course, we know the conclusion of this tale from Star Trek 2. So that's kind of interesting watching this from, the perspective of knowing at least some of the rest of the story.
That was the name of a penal colony.
It was a penal deportation vessel. Penal deportation.
Spot's all like,
penal deportation.
Penal.
Sorry, what was that?
Well, when they're all like, they're talking about like how, Khan's like this guy and he's this guy and he's like, he's a hero and blah, blah, blah. And Spock's all like appalled. And they're like, we're just kind of goofing. But then they totally like, we're not going to turn you in. You get to live on this planet.
The implication
you can
is.
You have this whole fucking planet.
The implication is that Kirk does not have faith. He's dismissive when he refers to the rehab. What did he say, a rehabilitation something or other? I presume he was talking about the New Zealand, the New Zealand penal colony.
This
was a penal deportation vessel.
No.
That was the name of a penal colony on the shores of Australia, wasn't it?
That's Botany Bay.
Yeah, that's the Botany Bay. Yeah. But
that was the name of a penal colony on the shores of Australia, wasn't it? Penal.
Penal. But in
penal.
In the court hearing at the end of the episode,
Botany Bay.
He states outright. He says, like, what a waste it would be to put these people in a rehabilitation something or other.
Yeah, he does.
Indicating that he does not have faith in the Starfleet or Federation form of punishment / rehabilitation. It's framed as rehabilitation. So he thinks his idea is better. So that's Kirk making the error of arrogance.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
In his own way, because it is going to come in and bite him in the old behind.
That's
later
what's
on.
So frustrating about this episode.
Because both Marlon MacGyver's and Khan committed violence, attempted murder, physically beat people. We didn't mention that Uhura got smacked down.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And of course, because Uhura is awesome, was like, fuck you, I'm still not going to fucking do what you tell me to do.
Yeah.
Which was a great scene, by the way, how no one on the crew, I almost wish they had pushed it a little further, because it was really fun seeing everyone on the crew silently agreeing, like, we're not fucking helping your dumbass.
Yeah,
okay, you're going to kill us in a row, and we're all going to be fucking dying, which is, you know.
We're all going to be fucking dying.
I have 5 times your strength.
And Spock was like, I don't give a fuck.
Another line that Spock gave actually at that dinner scene that I forgot to mention was another clever line was like, Spock was like, there was a war to end tyranny. Many considered that a noble effort. And then Khan's like, tyranny, sir, or an attempt to unify humanity. And when Spock was like, unify like a team of animals under one whip. I thought that was very clever. Yeah. That's a very clear and concise way of putting the difference in what you're saying. It's like, yes, you could call that unity, but that's a perversion of what unity really means.
Yeah. Spock did not let up in this. In this philosophical discussion, but I really enjoyed that.
The one philosophical point that I did not agree with is when he says, because the scientists overlooked one fact, superior ability breeds superior ambition. Yeah. Kirk was on the right track saying, interesting if that's true, but like that's hardly a fact. I don't think it's true at all. How can Spock claim that to be a fact? If anything, ignorance probably breeds ambition because one doesn't realize that the odds are generally stacked against them regardless of talent.
This is a typically Vulcan crazy thing to say.
Right.
T'Pol would say something like this. I have it in my notes too, this whole superior ability breeds superior ambition being...
There's no such thing as time travel.
Being goofy, because we know lots of people, we're living with lots of people who have superior ambition, but who are not of superior ability, who are morons, or who have very bad ability, but they have strong ambition. That's we also know many people, I count myself among them, who are very talented in many ways, who have not sufficient ambition to actually like do anything.
And you're so humble about it too, Patrick. That's what I love most about you. Yeah. So humble.
Yeah.
Yes.
You do love that about me.
I love it.
He's saying it like a joke, but he means it for real.
I mean it. I'm getting really...
This is a bit of a... Dan and I have a bit of a Khan and Khan... Like if Khan were dating Khan.
Yeah.
Khan and also Khan.
But like I was saying before, like it. Like I said, it almost takes ignorance in certain cases. Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't require ignorance, but there's a certain amount of like... naivete that it takes to have ambition because it's like if this fails you might be totally fucked.
You could even go as far as to say a certain level of a comfortable delusion
right
is helpful to get ahead in certain endeavors.
And I'm not saying that as a criticism. If you're able to make your mind do that, great, but if you are like really smart and think about all the scenarios, you're very capable of thinking of all the ways that it could fuck your shit up, you know,
and why you maybe should just not bother.
So anyway, you know. What are you going to do? He's a Vulcan. It's a Vulcan thing to do.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, though, because I agreed that it was one of those things that, okay, from a meta perspective, I don't know, is the writer saying that, the producers, is that the cultural vibe at the time? Whatever it was, I did chalk that up and add that to the list of some of those funny things that TOS and all of Star Trek, honestly, will do from its time period. It'll take some positions that are a little bit odd.
Cool fight scene. They made no attempt to hide the stunt
performers.
But it's okay because it was a pretty cool fight scene, but it was ridiculously obvious.
At the time, they were going to be shown on a 13-inch
50%
black and white TV, 60% black and white TV.
So there was, and then there was like... Which also accounts for like Kirk couldn't like beat this guy, but then he picked up like a a PVC pipe.
Started beating the fuck out of it.
With this like shitty little plastic pipe. Yeah, it was hilarious. And so that's somehow it beat it. But like, you know, that you, like you said, you could probably not tell so much. Also, when Khan was squishing that gun, that phaser, like his hand was covering the whole thing. So you couldn't really tell that he was doing anything.
It just looked all mushed up at the end.
Yeah, so I think it must have been clay or something.
Like, man, mashed potatoes?
Yeah, it was like clay. It was like clay, so it was like kind of like creasing weird. But his hand was also, but his hand was also like covering it, so you couldn't really see it anyway. You couldn't really tell what was going on.
I'm skeptical of like smashing up an energy weapon actually would hinder it. Like smashing up a ballistic weapon that, you know, shoots a missile. Maybe
show some sparks or something would be nice. I would believe it more if it wasn't like bending and mushing, if it just like cracked into pieces.
Yeah, like when they make a cheap plastic and it cracks and falls into pieces. I'd rather have that, you know. But that when Khan says to Marla, he says, quite understandable, since I'm something of a mystery to them. And she's like, you're no mystery to me. I know exactly who you are. Shit. He seemed like he was all concerned there for a minute, like she discovered some horrible things she's done. Yeah. But that was just her flirting,
I think. She was just, exactly.
Well, I think she knew who he was.
Well, he goes, do you?
But didn't care.
He goes, do you? And he goes, Leif Erikson, Richard the Lionheart, Napoleon, I don't know if you're going to like living in our time. And then he eases up there. He's like, oh, she's just flirting with me. Yeah.
But she's down.
It's like, I'm just like all those other assholes.
So, but I just feel like he thought she knew something else about him that she didn't know, or something.
Could be...
Like something specific.
Could be wrong for me to go this far, but I just...
I mean, you might be right.
Every time I've watched this, I just took that to as her... basically saying, dude, I looked you up. I'm not stupid. I know exactly who you are. You're Khan Noonien Soong. You're Singh. You're one of the eugenics people.
These other guys are really slow to catch on, but I know.
But she was saying, she was conveying, but I'm cool with that.
I see now I made one serious error.
Like when somebody's all like, is like, I know you smoke weed, and I'm cool with that. It's cool. It's okay. Yeah. Don't worry about it. Cool.
It does not matter. But it's not attractive.
We have more sounds.
Your ship flares up like an exploding sun within minutes.
I like that line. Like an exploding sun within minutes.
I also wanted to point out another artifact of the 1960s and of the sleazy producers, I guess. Or maybe this was just the style at the time. Kirk is getting information about who is on the Botany Bay, and they're like, there's X amount.
SS Botany Bay.
72, and they're like, 72 surviving life signs.
Right, and there were
30 of them were women!
Yeah, right. Yeah.
30 of them were women!
30
what the
of
fuck?
Them.
Well, why?
30 women with the pointy boobs!
Yeah.
What are we going to do?
What a weird way to phrase that. 30 of them were women.
We don't have enough bathrooms.
Not like this many men and this many women. Like 42 men and 30
just
women.
Just point out the women.
30 of them were women!
Because the default is man.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right. So there were a total of 90. They didn't say
blown away.
They didn't say if 30 of the 90 were women or 30 of the 72 were women. I think it's 30 of the 72. Yeah,
that's
I think it.
Me
too.
But Spock, we humans have a streak of barbarism in us. Appalling, but there, nevertheless.
I love his delivery.
It was so brilliant.
It is better to rule in hell than serve in heaven. Yeah.
One with a population willing to be led by us.
Yeah.
A struggle at first, even to stay alive, to find food.
He's getting so horny.
Your captain will die.
Yeah. Mandelbaum.
Captain is dead.
As soon as I get to that planet, I'm going to take my shirt off.
He did such a good job of being like, he's like, you know what? This was not my plan, but I can make this work. Yeah. I can make this fucking work.
Nothing ever changed.
Strip down to my underpants.
Except
run through the jungle.
Interesting. Well, okay.
You find no pleasure here.
That was a fun discussion. You know,
this grows tiresome.
We didn't discuss what we were going to talk about next week. I honestly, look, we can.
Wait, we didn't talk about what we were going to talk about?
What we're going to talk about. I was going to suggest, I don't know if you guys are into it, I was going to suggest maybe we cover the first episode of the Star Trek Con podcast. It's got audio. We can get audio clips. I'm kind of into listening to it, but up to you. I'm not going to force you. If you guys want to figure it out later and then we can put it on the social media, that's fine. If you want to do another show, but I was kind of enjoying this con business, and might be just I'm not going to suggest we're going to do the whole 10 episodes, but maybe we do the first episode.
Acknowledge.
If you guys would be into that. How about you, Dan? You into that?
Acknowledge.
All right. You do realize, by definition, acknowledge does not provide me with enough information to know whether or not you are okay with discussing Star Trek Con's first episode next week.
I understand.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
What?
Yeah, sure, that's fine.
All right, cool. Are you cool with that, Jesse?
I think I am.
Awesome. All right. So that'll be fun for us.
That'll
we'll
be so fun.
We'll do a podcast.
It'll be the funnest fucking shit.
A podcast about a
fucking
podcast.
Shit. It'll be the funnest fucking shit we've ever done in this fucking world.
Fuck yeah.
Shit.
Ass.
Shit, Mom. Shit. Shit.
All right. That is, folks, by the way, that is why we put the little E for explicit.
But if you will excuse me, gentlemen.
Balls.
Ladies, I grow fatigued again. I find myself growing fatigued.
Yes.
Fatigued.
I get it, Dan. Dan, you are fatigued. We're all fatigued.
That guy's working too hard, man.
So next week we'll talk about Star Trek Con, the podcast episode.
You're an old-fashioned boy, McCoy.
Episode one. And in the meantime,
you can
listen to a bunch more of this nonsense.
In the meantime,
we've done this is now 313.
In the meantime,
main episodes. That doesn't even count the many, many, many bonus episodes.
Is it?
Many, many, many.
Possible. There's still a lot.
Yeah, so there's a lot of bonus episodes out there. Free for all. There is also our Patreon, patreon.com/itsgotstartrek.
Are you certain of your sensory?
Where you can get all sorts of stuff, extra stuff, extra fun stuff. And www.itsgotstartrek.com is the website.
I'm not capable of that emotion.
Where you can find all sorts of stuff.
Do anything you ask.
One of the best things about the website, by the way, is that you can sort by series or topic.
Yeah.
So if you just want to listen to our TOS episodes or
Deep Space Nine
or Voyager, whatever, you can click on that in the menu, and it'll only show those episodes of this podcast where we discuss
Lower Decks.
That show. Precisely.
An emotional earth weakness of mine.
We've discussed all of Lower Decks.
So much for my theory.
Most of Discovery.
I'm still waiting to hear yours.
A lot of stuff on the website. Social media, at It's Got Star Trek. Follow us there. That'd be great. And
please do it again.
YouTube, Facebook. YouTube. Subscribe to us on YouTube, because that would be awesome. You don't have to listen to us on YouTube, although a lot of people do. But if you would.
Each of you, in turn, will go in there.
Reminds me of my youth. YouTube would be great. If you could subscribe to us on YouTube, fantastic.
Clickety click.
Will you assist me?
That helps us out a lot. So, if you write a review for us anywhere, Dan will write a haiku.
We forget
to mention that.
We haven't mentioned that in a while.
So write a review, Dan will write a haiku.
Or the hell with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so that'll be it until next week. Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Leave me then. Go, I say.
That'll be all.
This hearing is closed. Botany Bay. That was the name of a penal colony on the shores of Australia, wasn't it? They took that name for their vessel.
If you're suggesting this was a penal deportation vessel, you've arrived at a totally illogical conclusion.
Oh?
Your Earth was on the verge of a dark ages. Whole populations were being bombed out of existence. A group of criminals could have been dealt with far more efficiently than wasting one of their most advanced spaceships.
Yes.